Shalom. We're in the middle of chapter 55 in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agarata of Masechet Shabbat, in his commentary Ein Haya. And we saw the Gemara tells the story of Tana de Be'eliyahu, Ma'aseh b'talmid echad, Sheshana harbe, Ve'kara harbe, Ve'shemesh talmidei chachamim harbe, Umit b'chatzi yamav. The student died at a young age, and his wife asked, you know, Tzadik Veralo, why do bad things happen to good people? And after a couple of questions, it turned out that they were not careful regarding the siyagim, regarding the mitzvot, to marchik, to distance a man from his wife during the days of Nida. What we saw last time is Rav Kook points out that the Gemara changes the order of what's usually accepted. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that you should start learning Mikra, Tanakh, at the age of 5, learning Mishnah at the age of 10, learning Talmud at the age of 15. And here in the story, the Gemara changes the order and says that this young man, he learned a lot of Mishnah, he learned a lot of Tanakh, and he served Talmidei Chachamim. Serving Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi explains, that's referring to the study of the Talmud. And as we'll see, Rav Kook is going to deal tonight with the double meaning of why serving scholars is a code name for learning Gemara. Why that's the code name. Okay? And last time we saw Rav Kook explained, according to Piaget's system, that the intellect develops over time, and that it's not a coincidence that at the young age, before children get into the details of life, to give them a general overview. And Rav Kook said that it's not good to be overly makpid, to be overly careful and stringent regarding young children, regarding details of the mitzvot, because they're not built for it yet. The children have a very strong imagination. They fantasize. The difference between truth and fantasy by children is very, very unclear. And therefore, the Tanakh is very good for that age, where the Tanakh, as we saw last week, we mentioned the Netziv in his introduction to Sefer Bereshit, which says that the Torah begins with Sefer Bereshit, with the book of Bereshit, with the story of our forefathers, in order to teach Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Before you get to the mitzvot and the details of the Torah, first, you need that basic menschlichkeit, the basic derech eretz, of being a good person. And that's really where children are at. And that's why children should be spending their time, not as is done today in many of the schools, where they start teaching Gemara already in fourth grade, instead of at the age of 15. And Mishnah, they almost don't learn at all. And unfortunately, Tanakh is also not learned as much as it should and used to be. We'll start, we'll review the last sentence that we did last time. Vayelid bitumat livavo.
Yeah, I have it?
Yeah. Vayelid bitumat livavo. A child with his innocence, his purity, lo yuchal l'sha'er kol eile. He can't associate, he can't get into all of the details of the halachot, as found in the Mishnah, as found afterwards in the Shulchan Aruch, ki libo malei tom. His heart is full of innocence, ve'ahava, and love, l'chol ha'chayim, he loves life. He's flying, he's enjoying, he's happy. Ve'ruei ha'olam kulo kamishor. The world is straight. He doesn't understand the complexities of life. And we spoke about how when I was in fifth grade, I just couldn't understand Shimshon and his falling for Delilah's trick. And even when the rabbi tried to explain to me that Delilah was very beautiful, I just couldn't understand. So what? You know, what's the connection? If she's beautiful, but you don't tell secrets, you don't endanger national security. That's the innocence. Children see the world in its straightest form, in its most honest form, without the complexities. Makor or Rav Emet, and they are in the state of life of the source. Where just as the source of the world is light and truth, that's where children are at, light and truth. Alkin, and we mentioned last week, that's why Avraham Avinu also, when mankind, when Am Yisrael was in its childhood, we didn't need the Torah, we didn't need the Shulchan Aruch, we didn't need the 613 mitzvot, to go straight for the innocence and the straightness of the godly ideals. Alken, lo liyeled lilmod hamon pertei gedarim ma'asiyim b'alichot ha'chayim b'foal b'reishit derech hitpatchut sichlo. Rav Kook says it can boomerang. That's not what you should be putting the stress on. Umnam, and this is where we got up to. Hargashot tzrichim lefateach bo rigshei kodesh. So that's what not. What not, don't spend too much time on the small details of the halachot, right? And sometimes we drive the kids crazy, you know, what do the order of brachot, this bracha goes before that, and if you eat this first, you make that first, and kids, they're just not built for that. Tzrichim lefateach bo rigshei kodesh. That childhood is the time to develop the feeling of holiness. Shetumata yaldut, the innocence of childhood, to'ila haklitam bilvavo. That's the ideal time to absorb in their young, soft heart, hatahor ve'arach, the soft and pure heart, hamuchan la'or kodesh. There's Rav Shlomo Karlbach tells the story of an officer in the Israeli army who was seriously wounded in the Yom Kippur War. And I actually remember when Rav Karlbach came from America to Israel during the Yom Kippur War to entertain the soldiers, to visit the sick. It was a very big thing. And he tells the story of this officer who was seriously wounded. It must have been in the tanks because it was in the Golan on the first couple of days of the war where there were so many casualties. And he radioed that he was wounded, his driver was killed, he's losing a lot of blood, and the answer that he got was, we can't send anybody to save you. And he realized that he was a medic, or a doctor. If he was a katzin, he probably was a doctor. And he knew that he really only had a couple minutes to live. And he thought to himself, okay, I have 3 minutes to live, what do I think about? He was very well educated, so he thought, maybe I'll think of Shakespeare or something in the literature. Agnon, Bialik. And he immediately said, that's pretty stupid. I only have 3 minutes to live, you know. And so what should I think about? He didn't have anything to think about. He was non-religious. And the picture, you know, as his life flashed before his eyes, as they say, that's what happens before you die. He had this picture, he was fixated on this picture where his grandfather had brought him to shul on Simchat Torah when he was a little kid. And he was holding his grandfather's hand as his grandfather sang and danced and rejoiced, Sisu v'simchu v'simchat Torah. And he said it just made such a strong impression on him as a kid that it was just very real. It was a very real experience. It wasn't an act. Everyone was happy with the rejoicing of the Torah. And he felt, and he said, that experience was what stayed with him, apparently bought him another couple of minutes, and in the end, he was saved. And he told Rav Karlbach that's a simple picture. That's exactly what we're supposed to get in childhood. Those nice experiences, pleasant associations with our parents, with mitzvot, with Torah. Not the small details, but pleasant experience. Because that's how what the child is geared for. General experiences of holiness, of light. Torah shebichtav muchenet leyeled bereshito. God prepared the Tanakh, the Mikra, for children at the beginning of their education. Shehi afal pisha mimena lo yuchal adam lishtameh shimush ma'asi. You can't learn the laws of Shabbat from the Torah. What does it say? Lo tavaru esh b'chol moshevotechem. There's one of the 39 melachot about not lighting fire. But you can't learn the details of Shabbat. But the general idea, take a day of rest, right? Take a day out. Step back, turn into yourself, to God, family, nature, etc. That's all that you could tell about Shabbat from the Torah. Rav Kook says, that's exactly what the Torah wants you to get. It's sort of, I would say, to a certain extent, lahavdil, sort of like Bnei Noach. When Goyim learn Tanakh, they don't have to know what phylacteries are. They don't have to know what is the pre-Etz Hadar, right? The fruit of the beautiful tree. Let them think it's a fruit, a beautiful tree. You don't have to go into details of that it's a citron or an etrog, and it has to be this big, and it has to be, and it can't be murkav, etc. That doesn't interest Goyim, doesn't have to interest Goyim. The same with little children. Okay? Give them the general positive approach. Aval et haregesh hatov hi me'oreret. What the Torah does succeed is to awaken a good feeling. Okay? A good feeling. He identify with Avram Avinu, right? He's good, and he saved his nephew, and he even argues with God to save Sdom v'Amorah.
So what is it in the Torah that makes it so captivating from generation to generation to generation?
People have been asking that question a long time, especially the cynics of the 19th and mainly 20th century. I have an interesting article, which I photocopied, from an American magazine from about 80 years ago, where a Christian from one of the southern states in the United States is asking all these apikorsic questions, there's some very not nice stories in the Torah. You know, what is it in the Torah that we should... So he was, for example, was in favor of censoring things that don't apply to children or when God gets angry or things like that. You know, that's not the God that we... Apparently it's a well-balanced view of life and ideals in its most basic form. Right? Be a good person. Care about your children. How to deal with... Yaakov Avinu does deal with problems, right? And also, the Torah should be learned on many different levels. But it's a very good question. We have an answer. It's godly. It's the same manufacturer who manufactured us that wrote the instructions. And those stories are what we should be growing up on.
No padding.
Yeah, it's not censored, and but it's good, it's wholesome. What?
Elemental to
it.
You know, this thing that you mentioned about children is very interesting, because you can even stretch the logic a little bit and apply today. There is always the issue of how do you bring about keru between Latinim and Chiloniim.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of Chiloniim. I know a number of them myself from my own background that are eager to learn, but they take a step back when they are overwhelmed initially by details that they are not ready to grasp. So
that's an interesting point.
Find a way how to approach it in a more, I don't know, maybe natural or logical, in a way that they are better prepared for.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point, because it's sort of a bidyeved situation, an artificial situation, that somebody begins this process at a later age. Rav Kook, interestingly, does relate to that later on in this piska. I didn't think of that in modern terms of the modern problem of Balei Tshuva, but now that you mention it, he does relate to that in the next paragraph. We'll see. Okay. אבל את הרגש הטוב היא מעוררת. The Tanakh awakens good feelings, kirvat Hashem, to feel close to God. Right? God in the Tanakh is a lot more visible, as if it were, a lot closer than you see today. And that's really par for the course of children. Children like thinking about God. And in the Tanakh, they can mamash associate with their God who talks to man. Rachamav, God's mercy. Vashkachato, God's stepping in. Avato, His love. V'chemlato, al briotav, His mercy, His forgiveness. U'biyichud al Yisrael am krovo, especially for His chosen nation. Which also is important, because as a child grows older, he'll see that it's not so easy to be a Jew. And we all have all these enemies, and we have a very interesting history. And that's why it's important to stress from a very young age, God loves us. He loves the nation of Israel. He's always watching over. Don't worry. Right? You can depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sort of like the father and mother. Right? Psychologists say that parents are like God figures, that a child thinks that his mother knows everything. Right? Is this mushroom edible, Ima? Can I eat this? Can I do that? Where does this come from? Where does that come from? Parents, kids think they know everything. And that's really a godly type figure, because the child is helpless. He knows that he doesn't know. And that is mamash perfect for a God who reveals himself and watches over us, as Hashem does in the Tanakh, before the Tkufav Hester Panim, of hiding himself like he does today. Musar HaNevi'im U'tilot El Chai Asher B'Kitvei HaKodesh. Here Rav Kook stresses, we're not only talking about the Torah, although most of the examples that I gave are from the Torah, from Sefer Breshit, Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. He says also the Musar of the prophets. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. They don't talk about the details. They don't talk about do's and don'ts and 613 mitzvot. They talk in general. Don't take advantage of the poor. Don't exploit the widow. Have mercy on the convert. The mamash, as a matter of fact, Gretz and Ben-Gurion in his footsteps, they loved the Nevi'im. They said the Musar HaNevi'im, that's the ideal of Judaism. Let's talk about the klal without the pratim, without the details. And like you said, many, especially adults, don't like the details.
And by the way, isn't it correct that even today, when you look over all of Jewish education and younger people at school and all that, isn't it? I get always an impression that the Nevi'im are somewhat underemphasized, or not emphasized as much as they should be.
Without a doubt, what the problem is that if we would spend 5 entire years, from age 5 to age 10, just learning Tanakh, without Mishnah, without Gemara, with a little mathematics and a little English and a little science, but like it used to be, then children would learn by the age of 9, 10, when they're old enough to understand Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, that's when they would be learning it. The problem is today, if children basically stop learning Tanakh, you know, so much less time is spent. So even by the age of 10, 11, they've bekoshi learned the book of Malachim. And by that time, they're already starting preparing for the high school tests for Gemara, so they really never learn Nevi'im Achronim. Now, especially today, when the Nevi'im Achronim are coming true, with all of the Nevo'ot, the prophecies of returning to the land of Israel, and the national revival, and the dry bones, etc., it's a shame.
I remember Chavuta about the book of Yirmiyahu by Benny Lau, and we read that it is absolutely, almost hair-raising. It's so much of what he says is directly applicable today, and the analogy is just overwhelming.
So Rav Kook says, Musar Nevi'im u'tihilot el chai. Also Tehillim. Tehillim is very emotional. Turn to God when you're in tzara. nobody is around to help you. Turn to God. Turn to God when you're happy. Turn to God when you have trouble. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni v'ashem yasfeni. Right? Rav Kook says this is mamash ideal for children. Hema ma'orarim rikshei alev ha'tivim. Children have a natural belief, and the Tanakh awakens it, ladricham bederech yeshara u'kedusha, to teach them the way of holiness. I brought Natan Alterman has a very interesting poem called HaClerical HaKatan. Maybe I'll read it in Hebrew so you can turn it off.
What is the title about?
The Young Cleric. Anyway, so we see from Alterman's poem that children naturally are religious. Sometimes they overdo it and they think about boogeymen or ghosts or things like that. But God created them in a way that naturally they turn to Abba, they turn to Ima, they turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Tanakh is about. Once the child has that basis of yoshrut, honesty, straightness, and holiness, the next stage, once he starts getting into the more complex details of life, that's when you need Mishnah. Mishnah, you find a lost object, right? We all began with Elimitziot, right? What do you do if you find a lost object? Can I tell you once the story of Moshe Feinstein in MTJ, Masifta Tiferes Yerushalayim? The Rebbeim decided one year that they wanted to teach Masechet Brachot. Instead of, they always start with Baba Metzia, Elimitziot, the real Yeshivish Masechta. So they, Rav Moshe Feinstein heard about this and he called a staff meeting. And he said to the teachers, he said three things. He said, number one, before you decide to change a Jewish tradition, you have to ask, why is there a tradition to begin learning with Eilu Metziot? There must be some logic to it. By the way, my son is learning it this year in seventh grade, and I see it's written like a Steinsaltz Gemara. You know, it's like some Masechtot, the editor, when he edited them, you don't have to break your head and think, well, if this is that, then if not, the opposite. It's all written there. If A, then this. If not A, then this. Everything is written out. For some reason, it's worded very, very simply. But he said that's number one. First, to ask before you change traditions. Number two, you think that learning Masechet Brachot is good for children because it's halach lemaaseh, kriyat shema, tefillah, it's more maasi than shor shana gachet hapara, than oxes goring cows. He says, what's going to happen? The kid comes home in America and he sees, what is the beginning of Masechet Brachot? So zman kriyat shema. Now he sees that his shul begins davening at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And he knows that Sozman Kriyat Shema is at 8:15. So he gets the message that his father doesn't care about Sozman Kriyat Shema, the rabbi doesn't care about Sozman Kriyat Shema, and that all this halacha isn't really too serious. It's not mechayev, it's not really obligatory. He says, that's a second problem. A third problem, and this is the most, the positive ideal, says when a kid in fourth, fifth grade learns Eilu Metziot, how many dapim the entire year is he going to learn? Two dapim, three dapim. What you do the whole time is you're just reviewing what did we learn yesterday. And within 1 year, that child will hear several thousand times the idea, what's not yours, you're not allowed to take. Halavai that a kid should finish his Jewish education knowing just that. Money, it's not yours, you don't take it. And that's the message of Eilu Metziot, right? You find a lost object. In this case, that case, there is a siman, there isn't a siman. If it's not clearly yours, there's not yeush, clear yeush, you're not allowed to take. But when the kid does get to this age of 10, that's the time. It's not enough for him just to say, be good, don't take, don't be a bully, because he sees that life is complex. What about those gray areas where somebody lost a tennis ball? Am I allowed to take it? Because he has the yetzer already that he wants to take. On the other hand, he can reflect his feelings on others. Hey, if it was me who lost the tennis ball, I would like it if somebody returned it to me. And this is the time to begin lowering those nice general ideas to practical halachot. And that's the job of the Mishnah. Ubiyoto kvar chamush berigshei lev nechonim v'dat al ma'asim ha'yesharim. Rav Kook is making a play on words. Chamush literally means he's armed. He has at his disposal, but he's obviously also referring to here bin chamish lemikra. That's when you start learning chamish, and also chumash. That's when you start learning chumash. It's like a triple meaning here. Ubiyoto kvar chamush birigshei lev nechonim. Once he has those good, healthy, general feelings, vidat amasim ayusharim, and he's learned Mishnah, and he knows the halachot. As only then, ha'eta ru'uya lagdil sichlo bitpatchut iyunit. Then is the time to start learning the intellectual analysis, going a step deeper, what we call Talmud, or what's called in the Gemara here, shimush talmidei chachamim, which literally means serving the rabbis. Right? The rabbis say things in the Mishnah. We have to take those ideas and elaborate and analyze. Umnam, ha'adam ha'gadol, an adult. Here Rav Kook is changing the pace. Because our Gemara is not talking about that order, the natural order of when you're young, Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara. Here we're talking about an adult, a young adult. And that's why regarding him, the Gemara says, he learned a lot of Mishnah before it says that he learned a lot of Tanakh and Gemara. Changes the order. Explains Rav Kook, Omnam Adam HaGadol Shekvar Ola Chayim Alav Natui. An adult who already has the yoke of life upon him. He has to support a family. He has to go out and earn a living. He really knows the complexities of life. Income tax. Hu Badrachato Atmidit La'atzmo Tzarich Lakdim HaSidur HaMa'asi. He needs to spend more time on Mishnah than on Tanakh, because his life is that much more complex. Kodem sheishtadel agdil atiferet rigshotav. Before he spends time on developing his emotion, he needs the practical aspects, how to live life. Ki alul hu sevel achayim lekalkel et seder ma'asav. Because the complexities of life can really ruin a person. We know that a lot of people, when they leave the yeshiva and they go out into the world, they get corrupted. Asher az lo yuchal klali nasei ala regashot hakedoshim ha'aruchim b'torah v'nevi'im. And at that time, when you're living in the complex life of an adult, it's that much more difficult to identify, to tune in to the simple general ideas of the Tanakh. Alken, haseder haragil b'chayim le'ish ba kvar b'shanim asher b'torat Hashem chefzo. An adult who wants to learn Torah, who Mishnah ve'achar kach mikra. He needs to learn the more hilchati side, the do's and the don'ts, the details. Hefuch haseder hativi hayalduti, which is the opposite of the natural way that we were taught as children, because we're not there. Alken, ne'emar kan b'kivun, right, it purposely says, sheshana harbe, before it says v'kara harbe. Ve'achar kach hirba chayil b'pituach haseichel b'iyun, the third stage, to develop the intellect, the analysis, v'shimesh talmidei chachami harbe, the study of Talmud. The final point. Here Rav Kook deals with the why is learning the Talmud called serving the rabbis, Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Shimush Talmidei, I remember when I learned Masechet Brachot, it's also mentioned the term, I was in ninth grade, I remember asking that question. Why is that? Right, literally, it means serving, making up a cup of coffee for your Rebbe, you know, driving him around from place to place. Why is that the term used for learning Gemara? Shimush Talmidei Chachamim Hushem Mefursam LeDvarim HaIyunim SheBaTorah. This is a known nickname for learning the more in-depth aspects of the Torah. Lahorot, and the reason why this nickname is used to teach us, ki michlal advarim ha'iyunim yeshnam ke'ele shelo yuchal ha'hogel lehotzi havanatam ayedei dibur peh. Certain things are difficult to put into words. Ki na'alim hem mikol safa v'higayon. There are certain aspects of life which are not under logical. They're not illogical, but they're above logic. Or so, sometimes things that it's difficult to put into words. Lifamim nimtzeim dvarim ke'ele b'inyanim agvohim davka in the high, lofty topics. B'chikrei elokut, talking about questioning to try and understand God, the more philosophical or Kabbalistic or mystical aspects. Lifamim, it's difficult to put that into words. And the way to learn it, Rav Kook is explaining, is to live with Talmidei Chachamim. Live with them. See how they walk. See how they talk. See their emunah, how they live the godly ideals. Ulifamim nimtzeim gam ken ka'ele bidvarim musarim hamistafim api omik chokhmat hanefesh. Also regarding musar. In Rav Kook, musar can also mean moral or ethical issues. Sometimes it's more ideological issues. That some things, like in Kabbalah, it's difficult to put into words. Asher im yomara omar leva'aram beniv sfataim lo yuchal. That a normal person cannot put into words. And here, the written word of the Torah, shebichtav, and even the written words of the Torah, shebaal peh, the Mishnah, are not adequate. You need that shimush talmidei chachamim to serve and to live with the scholars. One of the things that issues that came up when we were looking for a rav on the vadat on the committee, the rabbi search committee, was exactly this point. Yeah, but not somebody who is out to set a personal example, but he just is. He has that tmimut. He has the, you see what emunah is. You see what priorities are. You see how to apply also the Tanakh and also the Mishnah in day-to-day life. How to find the right izun. How to express it in day-to-day life. Umnam, hameshamesh talmid chacham. Somebody who's serving the scholars. V'yakir b'ma'aseihem. He sees the way they act. And through watching his external physical actions, you can internalize what the deeper idea is behind everything. The deeper aspect of also the Tanakh and also the Mishnah, because a Tanakh is meant to be learned on a high level. Right? It's not meant just to be learned till the age of 10, right? Anybody who's learned Tanakh as an adult knows that there's no comparison, and that we really didn't understand it properly when we couldn't understand it properly. Hu yakir v'yeda gamken et oto chilek ha'iyuni sheino yachol limaser lo beniv sfatayim, that's the Tanakh, v'lo be'et sofer, in the Mishnah. Those unwritten rules, right? How to act, or what's called in the yeshivat, a walking Mesilat Yesharim. I remember in Kiryat Arba, where I learned in Hezder, one of my favorite Ramin was Rav Yair Uriel. who they say that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, even when he was a young man, when Rav Yair was in his 20s, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, who was in his 80s, would stand up for him when he came into the room. Because he's just a walking Mesilat Yesharim. You could learn Mesilat Yesharim 100 times, but when you see a walking Mesilat Yesharim, that's the real thing. You also see that it's practical. It's not theoretical. And you see how to do it. So he says, these are the type of things that you can only do when you have to do it at a later stage. Ki im yidba'er v'yuchak belev mevin haolech et chachamim hamikayem uledavka bo al pi divrei chazal hadbek b'chachamim v'talmideim. Right? Chazal say in the Pasuk, you shall cleave to God. How can you cleave to God? Right? God doesn't have a body. How can you stick to Him? Chazal, the rabbis explain, stick around Talmidei Chachamim. See the way they eat. See the way they spend their day. The classic example towards the end of Masechet Brachot, where Rabbi Akiva hid in the bathroom. So see how his teacher goes to the bathroom? And Rav Kahana hid under the bed of his Rebbe to see what his Rebbe does with his wife. And in the middle, he felt Rav Kahana under the mattress. And he looked under and he saw Rav Kahana in his Talmud. He didn't ask, what are you doing here? Because he knew exactly what he was doing there. And Rav Kahana says, Torahi ululamda anitzarich. This is also Torah, right? How to sleep with your wife, how to even go to the bathroom. That's also Torah, and I want to learn how to do it properly. Maybe they were Baldei Tshuva. We know Rabbi Akiva was a Baldei. That sounds like a Baldei Tshuva type of thing to do, you know? To like overdo it a little. And that's what it was at his Rebbe. Says, Ad Kan Kahana, you know? This is too much, you know? There's a...
theoretical lesson.
Right, there's a gvul, l'chol davar. Ki asafa vasifrut lo yuchlu liten ki imetzela chayim shel hakedusha. Here Rav Kook also gives a practical aspect of what he's been saying. Safa is not just talking about this words of the Nevi'im, what he called before the Niv of the Nevi'im. Niv means expressions, it's a play on words, that's not play words, that's where the word Navi comes from. Safa is Eliezer ben Yehuda's baby. And Sifrut is a Chana Am's baby. It's not just Mishnah. So just like it's not enough to learn Tanakh and Mishnah without Gemara, it's not enough just to love the Hebrew language and to love Hebrew culture without going deeper. Lo yuchlu liten ki metzela chayim shel hakedusha. Because those topics, the Tanakh and the Halakha of Mishnah, and again, in the allegory, loving the Hebrew language and its literature, they can give the shadow of life, of holiness. But they can't give holiness itself. They can give the lofty ideals, the general ideals. Aval atzmam shel chayei hakodesh, but actually living life itself. Again, how to go to the bathroom, how to drive, how to deal with your wife or children. Hem nimtzeim b'talmidei chachamim hachayim al pi darkei kodesh ele. Ve'emtzei, the way, la'agia la'omek ha'yediyah b'zeh. How do you get to this higher level? Hu b'shimush talmidei chachamim. And that's the idea of the dual meaning of serving rabbis, serving the scholars. A, literally hanging around them, learning from the small things. B, analyzing each and every word to try and understand also their words and also their actions. And that is, excuse me, the third story after the general Jewish education of the Klalim. The second level is the Pratim, the details. The third level is mamash, applying it on a high intellectual level and on a high practical level. And Shimush Talmidei Chachamim is one term, but it has both inferences. Okay.